Hi, I'm Dominic, and I have the privilege of leading Missio Community Church in Southwest Portland.
Hi, I'm Avery. I lead Common Ground Church in Beaverton, along with the elders there. Glad to be here.
I'm Tim, lead pastor at Mosaic in Northeast Portland. And what brought the three of us together today is two events that have happened. As we look forward to this Sunday, May 23rd, there's two events that really have shaped and kind of stirred a longing in us. And so we started a conversation and are here today to kind of share where God's leading us. And before we look at those two events, I think it's helpful to just hear a little bit more of the church families that each of us get to be a part of.
Well, so Missio is in Southwest Portland, and we're about 10 years old. We're a multi-ethnic community, and predominantly Asian, probably about 60% Asian, and it's pan-Asian, so not all just one Asian population. And the rest is different ethnicities, different backgrounds, and yeah, we're in the journey of trying to figure out how to be a healthy, multi-ethnic, flourishing church that shares Jesus with the world.
Mm. I think our demographic is very similar to Missio. I think we're older. Mm. And we're in the suburbs. So that's a whole different vibe, man. So we've got the Intel thing and the Nike thing. But our church location is in central Beaverton. It's very much Latino populated. And so God's just giving us some interesting opportunities as a multicultural church that is predominantly Asian.
Mm. Mosaic's about 14, going on 15 years old. And majority white within our church family. There's a minority of kind of all other ethnicities, but definitely majority white. And then just culturally, like how we worship and function is definitely a dominant white culture church.
That's pretty cool because we are the church.
Amen.
You know, I completely reject the whole colorblind. We're all one. We don't see color. Really? God was creative enough to make these colors. We ought to be wise enough to celebrate them. So I think that's great.
Yeah. One of the things you said, Avery, was that we are the church.
Yeah.
And I think it's so, I mean, even just in the way that we talk and that, and I think it affects how we think is that it's a, like we're one church, you're one church. And in some senses that's true. But in a truer sense that we are the church in Portland, in this area where we are part of one church, and we get caught up in names and addresses and locations and different websites and all those things, which serve us and are important at some level, but to be the church. And that takes us back to our two events. And so I want to kind of talk about one event and then, Dom, you're gonna talk about another event, and then Avery, we're gonna have you kind of, we got a question for you. So, first event is this. It's an event about 2,000 years ago, known as Pentecost. And for us this year, May 23rd, Sunday, May 23rd is Pentecost Sunday. And you may or may not know that. Dom, you were sharing just that's a marker for Missio that you addressed this text where that event happened every year. And so we want to just read that, the story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the Pentecost is, if you haven't heard that name before, Penta is a number for 50 and Pentecost is 50 days after another feast. So these are feasts in Jewish culture that took place in Jerusalem and after the Passover and Jesus is arrested, tried, beaten, crucified, buried, conquers death. The resurrection happens. Jesus rises from the dead. And then a number of weeks later, we come to the day of Pentecost. And on Pentecost, the promise of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit is fulfilled. And so in Acts chapter 2, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, meaning the disciples, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Jerusalem was just packed at this moment. There's people from all over, Jews from all over. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia." How did I get stuck reading this? That was
short straw.
Well done. Well done.
Short straw.
Yeah. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of our God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And so the scene there is the Holy Spirit coming, and it's audible, it's visual, and then it's actually experienced where these disciples, these first disciples, are speaking in all these different languages, and it's this the city is packed of people, and there's all these different languages being spoken, but the native language of each one is spoken in some way from that. From the Holy Spirit through the disciples, and so they can hear their own language, and they're hearing it says the wonders of God, and so they're bewildered. This is crazy scene happening, but it is this marker of the Holy Spirit coming, and all these different people. And if you read a few verses earlier in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it lists out where the disciples are going to be sent out to be witnesses, and it's to these places that don't get along. So it's in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And those are some areas that are in conflict with one another. And so from the very beginning, there's this movement of the Spirit in the first church. And you see this, the beginnings of a vision of people that are opposed to one another being reconciled, and people that are opposed to one another, once they're reconciled, being unified in some way. And so we have the very kind of beginnings of a vision for the church. And then again, just a few verses later, we find that this well-known verses in later in Acts chapter 2 of what the first church is and does and experiences. Mm-hmm. They share all things together, have all things in common. And so that's one event that is wonderful and miraculous. And we begin to get this hope and this vision for what the church can be in the world. So that's event number one.
Yeah. Tim, thanks. That's just, I've read that a bunch of times, but honestly, sitting here and listening to you read it, that's a powerful picture. That's a humbling picture. Mm. And if I'm honest, it's a troubling picture from the standpoint of what God created and intended us as the church to be, but troublesome because of where we are today. I mean, in terms of just saying, honestly, we're not that.
Yeah.
We are in some ways, and in other ways, we're not that. And so that's humbling, awe-inspiring, and troublesome. And really troublesome connecting it to then the second event that we wanted to talk about that we're commemorating this week. May 25th, 2020, was the death of George Floyd. And so we're 1 year at the anniversary. And I think just as much as Pentecost is a history-altering event, I think that the death of George Floyd will be a history-altering event, meaning that as we do right to remember and to mourn and lament and repent and consider in the midst of the anniversary, where are we? What's going on in our world? What's going on in the church? How does the gospel speak into it? That it'll bring change, right? That the history that we've seen will not repeat itself, but that this will be a moment where we get to move forward in a different way, moving closer to the picture of what we see here that is so awe-inspiring, that is humbling, that is God's heart and God's design for the world, for humanity. I think as I read this, or as we read this and we've talked about it, it does leave me though going, okay, if this is the picture and what God intended in terms of giving his Holy Spirit to empower the church to go and be this beautiful, diverse yet united picture, and then thinking about where we are, it does beg the question of how? Yeah. how does this play out for us? Mm-hmm. And what do we do, guys?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And, you know, when I read Jesus' prayer in John 17, that he's close to the cross. I've only got a little bit of time. I'm going to tell you something that's important. He prays that we would be one. Why would he do that? Because he knew we wouldn't be. He knew that in the midst of crisis, we would be a hot mess. And he prays, all right, this is the model. Father, like we're one. You and me, I and you, I need them to be one. They must be one so that the world knows that you sent me. If today the world doesn't know that Jesus was sent from the Father, it's because we're not one. And so I've been thinking about just looking at the model of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, their community together. Mm-hmm. If we would initiate relationships, build trust, celebrate diversity, and invite inclusion, there is something about that model that allows us to practice being one, to be in the experience of getting to know one another, building trust, which takes time. The thing that none of us have a lot of, that we would purposefully say, look at how amazing God is. Mm-hmm. Look, just the three of us sitting around this table, God was smart enough to figure that out. And for you to invite me and Dom to this table, to say, I want to hear your voice. That's the thing that would be different. That's the practicing of oneness. See, I think biblically we all agree we are one, right? But it's more like union. We've got solidarity in Christ. But to actually practice oneness, oh, that's the hard work. Initiating relationships. Somebody's got to make the first move, which leads to built trust, which then provides an opportunity for us to say, yay, God, look how amazing he is. Look at Missio and Common Ground and Mosaic and Imago and Southwest and Village. And look at how amazing God is. We should put that on blast, like for the world to hear it.
Yeah.
Because what they see, what they hear is all of the fussing and fighting and stuff on social media. That's what they think of when they think of believers in Christ. We got to do that differently.
And as you're saying that, it's moments like this that actually almost further disintegrate rather than bring together. Like, so you look at a moment like George Floyd, and that's, instead of looking around and seeing it coming together, there seems to be a further either like paralysis or moving away from each other. And so that call to, the first thing you said, initiate relationship, build trust, and
celebrate diversity.
Yeah, we're not so good at that, I don't think.
No. I think for some reason we think that if we talk about our diversity, that somehow we're saying that we're not united. And I view it in the very opposite.
What do you mean?
Say more about that.
Yeah. In other words, if a white elder stands in front of the church and says, yay, God, we've got Filipinos in the church. God bless you. Welcome. Man, we've got Cameroonians in the church. Isn't God great? Look, we've got African-American pastor. That is really cool. Wish you would preach shorter. We've got that now we're speaking out loud that we are the church. And that can feel divisive to some, because oneness can be misinterpreted as sameness,
or that it needs to be,
right? That's the objective.
That's where we're trying to move. And so, yeah, okay, that's really helpful. Because we're just not good at it. And so to name it and to celebrate it can build unity.
Yeah, and we have to practice it.
Yeah.
We think that when we get to heaven, we're all gonna be united in one and we're gonna be happy, but we spent no time practicing before we get there. And this would help us to practice it.
So what was the fourth thing? You said celebrate diversity was the third thing.
And then invite inclusion. In other words, diversity is, we're all sitting around the table and we're gonna have a meal. Inclusion is, you ask us to help create the menu and cook the food. Which is different, yeah. Right? Because I know plenty of churches that are multicultural, multi-ethnic,
yeah.
And it's as white as it can be. Mm. It's just hard work to invite inclusion.
Say that again. I think we need to hear that again.
Yeah, just we could be a multi-ethnic church, multi-racial mm-hmm. church, and ignore all the cultures in the church.
Yeah.
Right? And the church can be predominantly a white church and still be multicultural based on social economics, based on education, based on ages. Yeah. Yeah. Just because we look the same doesn't mean we live in the same neighborhood, think the same way, like the same songs. Yeah. That's the hard work.
Well, and even knowing that, like that's an idea that is new for some people. That and to understand that, to know that, and then to learn how to graciously see through that, and or not to see through it, to see it, and to I think that's really complex, but it's really helpful to name that.
Well, I mean, I've been learning that at Common Ground regarding the Asian community. Just because the majority of people are Asian in the room, that doesn't mean they're all the same. I mean, can you speak to that? Just in terms of different cultures in the room, even though we all kind of look the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the monolith, right? The fallacy of the monolith, right? That just because everyone looks the same, that there's a common story that pervades through all of it, and then everyone acts the same or reacts the same or engages the same or wants to be treated the same or all of that. And the reality is that that's just not true. There's a uniqueness in which God has created each of us and in each of the Asian cultures, you know, speaking to that specifically, in which the way they interact and celebrate and worship even, and different practices, and obviously the food and all of the different things, there's uniquenesses within that. And in order to see those and to celebrate and to honor those, I think is to really then to honor the image of God uniquely placed and created in each ethnic culture, but also in each person within the culture. Mm.
I do not know every black pastor in Portland. I know that's shocking to hear, but I don't, you know, we share ethnicity, but we are different and it ought to be celebrated. Mm. That's a good thing.
So again, Avery, you're talking about stuff that paints this beautiful picture, a humbling picture, and again, if I'm honest, somewhat troubling, because it's not the reality that I see in being played out around, or honestly, being played out in my heart and in my own thoughts. Mm. My natural inclination of my flesh is not necessarily initiate relationships with new people. It's, you know, maintain and do. I've got so much going on, right? It's not always inclusion. It's like you said, it's a lot of work to include. It's more, okay, I can get this done if I do this and with the people I know and that sort of thing. It's not build trust over time because it takes too much time. Right? Like I got trust with certain people and so I'm good with that, right? And yet, again, the picture you painted, which I think plays off of this beautiful story and picture here of God's intent and God's desire in giving the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples to be effective witnesses in the world. I read this at the end of this. There's a question in verse 12 that says, and they were all away amazed, meaning all the onlookers, everybody there in the room or in that space. It says they were all amazed and they were perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And, you know, you spoke to John 17 and Jesus' prayer. Previous conversation, you spoke to John 13 and that command, that reference of Jesus, that powerful statement that says that the world will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another, or if you love one another. And so I think the people in the day and the time, they, again, the Holy Spirit was given so that they would be effective witnesses. We see that they were effective because the onlooking world sat there and said, what does this mean? Like, what is going on? What is God doing through this? Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of our conversation, the reason why we're here, is to acknowledge and recognize that Pentecost, the anniversary of George Floyd's murder, everything that's going on in our world causes us, I think, if we were wise, to pause and to say, in a sense, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. God, what are you doing here and now? Mm-hmm. In our hearts individually, in our lives communally as churches called to represent Christ here in our city. And even beyond that, we're going collectively, like as a nation, as a people, as a humanity, right? What does this mean? What is God inviting us to in all this?
Am I supposed to have the answer? I don't know where that is. Where is that? I don't know. I don't know what it all means. I do. I go to the hope and the dream of what it could be, and the moment that I think that we have as the church to genuinely truly be Spirit formed and Spirit led and Spirit empowered to be a different kind of, so that, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but what would it be like if the world looked at the church today and were amazed and perplexed and went, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And because I think the world looks at its own screen and sees further division, I think it's easy for the world to look at the church and see further division. Certainly not enough love, like you said earlier. Like, there's not, they don't look at the church and see, here is an overflow of love for one another and for the world. And so I think that longing is there in each and every one of us, that we would love one another because we know the Father's love, and then have the world look at the church and go, oh, there's something different. What does that mean? And I'm drawn to it rather than repulsed by it.
Yes.
And that's where I have hope for that. Even in the midst of, I don't know that the church collectively responded to not just George Floyd's death, but the response after that we are still living in as a nation. I think we're doing this. I think we're going, what do we do? How can we do it? How can we move forward, and how can we move forward together? And that's where my mind goes. But
yeah, this we're talking about the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all gospel. Our relationship is directly tied to our credibility to share Jesus with the world. And they're completely uninterested in what we have to say by watching us fussing and fighting at one another. They already have that. They got that model in the world. Jesus came to bring light into the world. And so our relationships together in Christ is directly tied to the gospel. They'll know that you're my disciples, not based on the sign on the building or your theological statement on your website, but because you love one another. So we're talking about the gospel.
Dom, would you pray for us?
I can do that.
And as you say that, Avery, I just think of those. There's so much of the gospel that has shaped those four things that you have been writing on and thinking about, and that you mentioned today, of initiating relationship, building trust, celebrating diversity,
and inviting inclusion.
Inviting inclusion. Thank you. That's, yeah. Yeah. May we be that.
Yes. Thanks for initiating the conversation.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for taking this step to build trust together. And let's pray that God does something through this and we get to live it out. Mm. Yeah. So Lord, we do. We just acknowledge your goodness, your faithfulness, your love, your power. We acknowledge that apart from you, that there is no life. And we thank you that the life that, you've given us is a life call into relationship with you, the God who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the God who is one and yet three unique persons, perfect unity in diversity, love, relationship played out. And that's what you invite us into, each of us individually and collectively as your people. Again, Jesus, as you prayed in John 17. And so, Lord, I think I'd do right to pray along with your words. I pray, Jesus, that you would make us one the way that you and the Father and the Spirit are one. And I thank you that you've not called us to that and then said, okay, go ahead and try and do it on your own. But what we're recognizing and remembering in Pentecost is that you're a God that gives. And you gave your Son, Father, and then you also gave your Spirit. And it's your Spirit that empowers us as it indwells us to go and live out this life of love in relationship with one another, with people that are different than ourselves. And so, Lord, that question that the people asked in that day, what does this mean? I ask, Lord, that you would help each of us consider that and wrestle with that question personally. What does this mean? That there is a God who exists in relationship and in love and is wanting to be in relationship with us and wanting us to be in relationship with others who are different than ourselves to proclaim the goodness and the wonders of who he is. And so, Lord, help us to wrestle with that. And I also pray for your empowerment to that. Empower us, Jesus. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to initiate relationships, to build trust, to celebrate diversity, to invite people into inclusion. Lord, would you allow that to happen at Mosaic, at Common Ground, at Missio, God, at your churches throughout the city, your churches throughout our country, your church throughout this world, because we are one church. Jesus, you're Lord of it all. And we want, we desire, we long for your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, I thank you and I ask your blessing on Tim and Mosaic and their journey moving forward. I pray your blessing on Avery and Common Ground and their journey moving forward. I pray your blessing over myself and Missio and our journey moving forward, and even our collective journey, God, to move forward as a people, radically different, yet amazingly somehow united by your love and by your Spirit, and Lord, empowered by your love to go out into this world to make you, Jesus, known, and others come to know you and celebrate the goodness of who you are and all that you've done. So Lord, we love you because you've loved us first in Christ, and we pray this in his name.